Hello, this is Gary Naylor. We've been together on two previous teaching episodes, and this will be our third, and I think probably the final. But let me begin with something most important. And that is that for us to have success in knowing what God's doing, for us to have success in knowing the mind and the ways of God, if we're going to understand what's going on in this world, if we're going to understand what's going on in the kingdom of God, we must first think governmentally. We have to know the government and the ways of God and not just go by things by the intellect. We've already said that masculine is bones, and that is true. Masculine is bones. So what is feminine? Feminine is muscles. Interesting thing about bones. You don't bend bones. You can break bones, but you don't bend them. Their structure, they're rigid. And they have to be rigid in order for the muscles to function properly. So that actually it's kind of an interesting thing. The muscles operating properly actually put stress on the bones. That's how they work, by pulling together and causing movement. Government is bones that make things function correctly. Muscles are the feminine aspect. There is mobility. There is function. But they operate according to the structure of the bones. That's what's critical. Bones are order. They're structure. Muscles are soft. They have functionality, but they operate according to the structure set forth by the bones. This is the male-female aspect. Both of them are important, but we have to recognize that bones set the government and the structure. There's that interesting passage that says, Yahweh's going to do a new thing. The woman will encompass the man. Well, in like regard, muscles encompass the bones. But in thinking governmentally, what we're saying is that we have to think structure. If you want to know what the church is, if you want to know what God's going to do, you have to understand the government. Remember, when Moses came down off the mountain after being with Yahweh, he brought the law. And then whenever they built the tabernacle and all the priesthood, it was all law. It was all government. And then the people conformed to the government. That's what has to happen. If you have a better idea like Korah, or whenever Miriam and Aaron thought that they knew better than Moses, and Miriam was smitten with leprosy, and Korah's rebellion was swallowed up in the belly of the earth, you don't go against the government of God. If you want to know what God's doing, if you want to know what's right and wrong, you have to know his government. And you can't let emotions get in there and try to have a Korah's rebellion or anything like that. So let me say again, what we have to do is think governmentally. That's what we're going to do. I am bones. It's just the way God made me. I am government. I look at things governmentally. I look at structure. And let us address another point here at the very beginning that we must make note of. And that is the pattern. We talk about government now. That is the pattern that God set forth in the original garden. If you want to see testimony of what God is doing and what he will do, go to the garden. If you want to understand man, if you want to understand the church, then go to the garden. What do we see? We're repeating what we've said before. It's necessary. We see the kingdom of God, the ways of God. We see a man and a woman. We see two trees. And we see a serpent. And there is the command to not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The serpent tempts the woman, and we saw in the second teaching that it was actually Satan in the form of the serpent, who is in truth the wife of Yahweh God. That's very clear when you back off and look at it. And it's very important to know. And so Satan knew exactly who to go to, which is to Eve, and that's the problem. Let's back off, folks. Let's look at this. The problem is when this more easily deceived part of us, our female part, listens to the voice of Satan. And then the man listens to the voice of the woman. Of course, that was the curse upon Adam, because you listen to the voice of your woman. That's listening to flesh. It's not listening to bones. So if you want to know what's happening in the home, in the church, in the nations, and we're going to address these, all you have to do is keep in mind that testimony of the garden, because it will be repeated in every area. When you got a man and a woman, that's an easy one. The woman listens to the voice of her husband and not to the serpent, not to this female entity that rebelled against God. She just becomes like the devil herself. And when you look at the nations, you see the same problem that's in the family. Now we have women in governance. We have a woman running for president as I make this recording. Who's going to win? Is it going to be the woman or the man? Tell you what, if it's the woman, we're in trouble. Because all it means is a continuation of the curse in the garden. But we failed long ago. The book, The Curse of 1920, tells us that when women got the right to vote, that a curse came on this nation. And it is indeed true. A gentleman did a study on the cost of government. As soon as women got the right to vote, it skyrocketed. So we got trillions and trillions of dollars of debt. And where does it come from? Well, you can lay it squarely in the lap of the woman and the man for listening to the woman. It goes back to the garden. Why was there failure in the garden? It's because the woman listened to the serpent and the man listened to the voice of the woman. Folks, if you want to save a nation, reverse women in governance. It's just that simple. The garden is the testimony of the destruction of not only the family, but also the church and the nations. It's the problem. All you have to do is go to the scriptures. Listen to this. This is Isaiah 3:12. Do you think there's any relevance here? Listen. O my people, their oppressors are children, and women rule over them. O my people, those who guide you, lead you astray, and confuse the direction of your paths. That's all it takes. Listen to the voice of the woman. Isn't that exactly what happened in the garden? Adam listened to the voice of the woman. And that's what's happening today in this nation. If you could put that as a bedrock in your ways, in understanding, you will see that we cannot afford to continue going the way we are. And I guarantee you, when Emmanuel returns back to this earth, it will not be that way. It will be a governance by a man, and that be him himself. And let me point out something here that is most, most important. I ask you, in a body, you have bones and flesh, of course, internal organs, but they're really very much a part of the flesh, tissue. I ask you, where does life come from in that body? Is it produced by the muscles? Is life produced by the muscles? No, absolutely not. Life is produced in the bones. Such it is with male, female. Life comes when you listen to the voice of the male, and he listens to the voice of Yeshua. If you want life in a nation, then don't put women in governance. If you want life in a home, then don't put the wife in charge of governance. Life comes from the mail, from the bones, from government. And that's an extremely important testimony. When Yeshua was on the cross, the thief on the left and on the right, both of them, their bones were broken. But Yeshua's bones were not broken. It's because life is in the blood. The blood comes from the bones. If they had broken his bones, it would have said that he did not have the power of an indestructible life. It's the same way with governance. If we put governance in the place of the woman, it is destruction. We have to maintain governance in the place of the masculine. From there comes life. Again, looking back in our first time together, in our first teaching, we laid a foundation of what is the kingdom of God and what God is doing. In the second one, we looked at the ways of God and what he is doing more specifically. And that included looking at the father's wife, who we found out was Satan. And of course, that influenced the garden, where Satan influenced the woman, and we have the same scenario. We have this situation where the woman listens to the serpent, and then the man listens to the woman, and it brings corruption. In this time together, we're going to look at some very specific things. We're going to look at some of the details in this whole matter of male-female. There are four different areas that we're going to address. The first area is the nations. The second thing that we will address is looking at what is right. And the third will be that we will examine this issue of Jezebel, a very, very important subject. And then the fourth, we will look at Yahweh's instruction to wives. So let us begin with number one and address this matter of the nations. I'm going to have to be brief here. There's no need of me expanding and elaborating beyond what's necessary. Well, let me ask you this question. Do you agree with transgender? If you're a man, would you ever want to dress up like a woman? Or you women out there, would you like to dress up like a man? I mean, of course, many women dress up like men all the time. They start cutting their hair like them. They start wearing their pants, which occurred whenever I was a young boy. That's when the transition. It was a good while before my wife's grandmother would even put pants on. My grandmothers from my father's side and my mother's side, they never wore pants. Well, it's just accepted. It's because it's the slippery slope of compromise. It's the frog in the water. You change it a little bit here, a little bit there, and before you know, it's totally corrupted, and that's what we have today. And I would urge you to read The Curse of 1920. People don't realize how far they have strayed from what is right, where the woman becomes the man. You say, well, no, I don't agree with transgender. I mean, that's their right, but I would never do it. You do it all the time. Wait a minute, if you're wearing pants and looking like a man, taking that position, or if even you're trying to be the head of your home, you're just as much transgender. You're doing exactly what took place in the garden, and that is to listen to the serpent and try to influence her husband, offering him something new and different. You really ought to be more careful in judging yourself, because you don't realize how wrong you are, ladies. Why don't you dress like women? Why don't you have a clear distinction of the dress of a woman, the garment of a woman? Man, I like the word dress because it implies a literal dress, versus a man. When you have this confusion, and when women started wearing pants, hello, what do you think it was going to lead to? It's going to lead to what we have today, transgenders, where it doesn't matter whether you're a man or a woman. It's, You know, we'll just switch out. And then we'll get these transsexual bathrooms. It doesn't matter. There's no difference between men and women. Folks, don't you see the slippery slope of compromise? We have today this, what we would think is extreme, because we began to make compromises years and years ago. I am a man of a generation that saw a lot of change. My grandmothers never wore pants. But my wife's grandmother, she started wearing pants. You may think there's not anything wrong with it, but you are not thinking governmentally. You're compromising. There has to be a clear distinction between men and women. And so now women vote, which took place in 1920. Women got the right to vote nationally. We think that it's right. It's not right. Under the government of God, the man is to rule. Let me point out something to you. Boy, I wish I could change your thinking. In both the Old Testament and the New Testament, when God went to number the people, he only counted the men. And that's even in the New Testament. So that when Yeshua fed the 5,000, were there 5,000 men and women out there? No, sir. There were 5,000 men that were fed. There were 4,000 men that were fed. Yahweh counts the men. He does not count the women. Why? Because it's headship. Our government, in the beginning, and you can read this in the Curse of 1920, it was based on the fact that when a man and a woman were married, the woman was absorbed into the identity of the man. You say, well, that's strange. No, it's governmental. It's right. Think, folks, think. Don't be amused. Think. Do you want to have an identity and authority apart from Yeshua? Or is it best for you to be absorbed into Yeshua's headship? Do you think you have a right to claim an identity apart from him, or is he supposed to be living through you? His will is supposed to be living through you. There is no difference in the man and the woman. The woman's identity is absorbed into her husband. So why should she have a right to vote? Because the two become one flesh. And as one flesh, it has one mind. Otherwise, it is double-minded. Do you understand government? Folks, think governmentally. A woman is to be absorbed into the identity of her husband, just like we, as believers, want to be absorbed into the identity of Yeshua. There is no difference in when you think you... want to, no, this is different. No, it's not. It is not different. It is the same thing. When the scripture tells us in Corinthians that the Father is the head of the Son, and the Son is the head of the man, and the man is the head of the woman, what difference does it make if it's the woman related to the man or the man related to Yeshua? There is no difference. The government is the same, folks. It is bones. It is structure. And for the woman to think that she is now going to get headship over her husband is rebellion. And all she's doing is in following the serpent. All she's doing is following this bride of the Father and entering into rebellion. It says in the scriptures, the woman is to obey her husband in a few things, not everything. But, you know, if she disagrees, she has the right to, you know, express her opinion and should be listened to. No. It says the woman is to obey her husband in everything. Are you to obey Yeshua in everything, or do you think you're smarter than God? Folks, the government of the relationship of man to God is the same as the relationship of the woman and her husband. We are so messed up. We are so messed up. I've heard it said that we have been subnormal for so long that when someone becomes normal, they're abnormal. I'm glad that I do not have the same opinions of the world or of the worldly church, who is a whore and commits harlotry with the world. Folks, I'm a realist. I want reality. I don't want to play any games. I don't want to hedge and compromise and be like a chameleon and turn the color of whatever's around me. If I'm the same color as the world, folks, something's wrong. We are not to be chameleons. In 1 Corinthians 5, starting with verse 1, it says, Paul wrote to the Corinthians and says, it is actually reported that there is immorality among you, and immorality of such a kind as does not exist even among the Gentiles, that someone has laid with his father's wife. You have become arrogant and have not mourned instead, so that the one who had done this deed would be removed from your midst. For I, on my part, though absent in body and present in spirit, have already judged him who has so committed this, as though I were present. In the name of our Lord Jesus, when you are assembled, and I with you in spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus, I have decided to deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of his flesh, so that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. We are told that Satan is the god of this world, that he owns this world. And we are warned not to be of this world, or we become enemies of God. Folks, this world belongs to Satan. And this man laid with his father's wife. I ask you, what is the difference in what this man did and what the church does when it lays with the world? Are they not doing the same thing? Absolutely they are. They're laying with the father's wife, Satan. So when the church commits this act of giving themselves to the world, having relations with the world, they are actually laying with the father's wife, the devil. And what is the outcome? Well, Paul put it, and this is what's happened to the church for 2,000 years, because they continue to lay with the father's wife, Satan. They turn him over to Satan for the destruction of his flesh. In other words, to be killed. He is the one who has the power of death. You know that in Hebrews. Turn him over for the destruction of his flesh, so that his spirit may be saved. When? In the day of the Lord Jesus. Now hold it. That's going to be the millennial reign. Yeah. Paul, turn him over for his death, so that in the day of the Lord, he might be saved. And that's what has happened to the church 2,000 years. They've been turned over to the devil for the destruction of his flesh. I mean, I think that's probably what's happened to all the flesh of all these folks for 2,000 years. Doesn't it destroy and turn back to the earth? Folks, be realists. This scripture applies to those who have relations with the world. If you're dressing like the world, if you're putting makeup on like the world, if you're listening to the music of the world, all you're doing is being influenced by the devil, and you're laying with your father's wife. Wake up. Be a realist. Judge yourself, lest you be judged. This is real stuff, folks. If you're going to be a friend of the world, you are not a friend of God. You're laying with his wife. And she is a Vashti. And what you're doing is listening to her and going your own way and not setting yourself apart for righteousness. And you're willing to compromise because you want it and it satisfies your flesh. And you don't want to be different from the world. And men, when you're listening to your wife instead of to your head, what are you doing? You're listening to the serpent as well. Isn't that exactly what she did? She didn't tell him some good news. She didn't tell him how to obey the Father, did she? She just passed along what she'd heard the devil speak. We have to be careful, men. We have to listen for the voice of righteousness. Let me tell you the history of this nation. I hear conservative people say, we must get back to the position of the founding fathers. We've got to get back to the position of the founding fathers. Okay, let's do it. They didn't let women vote. Well, you say, well, they didn't let blacks participate either, but they knew that one have to be dealt with. They knew that would have to be dealt with, but they knew they couldn't deal with it at the time. But one of the things that they all agreed upon is that women did not have a right to vote. And that should have been upheld continually. So they started compromising. You know, of course, whenever this nation was founded, when a man married a woman, if she had property, that property went into the possession of the man. It was his property. If she wanted to leave, guess what? She lost her property. It's now belonging in the headship of the man. And so it was a good, solid patriarchy that we have. Boy, and I tell you what, people do not like the word patriarchy. You know, it's why would they? Because Satan, they're offspring of the devil. They listen to him. They listen to the voice of the devil. Listen to the voice of the woman. So they don't like the term patriarchy, especially Democrats. I don't think Republicans are bad. But the reality is Democrats are female who listen to the voice of the serpent. And the Republicans are male and they listen to the voice of the Democrats. And gratefully, Trump, he doesn't do that too well. He's more masculine. You know, he's the man with the head of gold. He's not going to be that way. Prophetically, he's not going to be. And so let's change some things and, you know, let's give them more rights to own property. And, education. Oh, yes. We've got to change education. Education used to be just masculine. Men went to college. Women didn't. They stayed home. They took care of the children. You know, subservient things, you know, having children and having babies, raising them, you know, that's kind of old-fashioned. We don't want to do that anymore. We're going to go into the man's world. So what they do is they then start compromising. A little bit here, a little bit there. Give her a right to get an education. She has a right to, don't you think so? Yeah, well, sure. We're going to give her a right to an education. She gets her education. Now, over 50% of the people going to college are women. And the men are finding their place elsewhere. Brothers and sisters, when they did that, they were following the ways of the devil. And then the situation changed in the world where it wasn't so agricultural and we hit the Industrial Revolution and a lot of jobs became available. So women started working in the Industrial Revolution and they started having their own money. And then it wasn't long after that they had their own money, had their own vehicle, they got their own place and they started living independent life. And so that independence continues. They don't want to be mothers anymore because now they got a job. Do you see how it goes? And they used to be in the Victorian era where women had long dress. And even before that, this nation was built on women having long dresses, even in the field. They plowed the fields with their long dresses. But when you come up to 1920, women are now working. They got their own identity. They got movie theaters. They're seeing all this glamour, all this beauty. They're tempted by it. Their dresses are long and their hair is long. And so let's make a change. We're going to become like men. So let's do this. Let's start cutting our hair so that we look like a man. And let's raise our dresses up and so that we can become more sensual, you know, show more flesh because from here on, they're going to just be more fleshly. So they show more flesh. You show more flesh, guess what? It's just a testimony. You're living by the flesh. And this flesh is the one that's given to you by the devil. So you're listening to the devil again, aren't you? Do you see where we're going? It's government, folks. It's bones. And so now we got us a job. We want the right to teach and we want the right to vote. And, you know, what the man do? Well, listen to the voice of the woman. You ever heard that story before? Because you listen to the voice of your woman. Okay, so they got him a job. They got the right to go to school. Now they've got the right to vote. And so they're equal, and they want now equal pay. And guess what? As soon as women got the right to vote, debt, national debt, the cost of governance, guess what? It skyrocketed. Any idea that maybe that's related to this multi-trillion dollar debt we have today because women had the right to vote? Yeah, absolutely. Because it's corruption. You think you're so smart, folks? The fact is, you're dumb. You're being fed a bill of goods. You're being taken down the primrose path to death. You're listening to the serpent. You think yourself smart. No, you're very, very foolish. And quite frankly, you're very dumb. You're blind. So our nation is being corrupted. Actually, what happened is the woman listened to or went to intercede for the black man. And that's where she got her rights to speak. And then she wanted the rights to govern as well. And so she listened to the serpent in many ways. And here we are today with a woman running for president. We all think it's right. And the Democrat Party condemning us because we are thinking so strangely. And by the way, you know, it's not just that women quit having babies, but let's see what else they did with this idea of babies. They just take them to the slaughter. You see, this is all a part of the story, folks. You not only quit having babies, you just take them to slaughter, and you start aborting them. They used to argue at the time of coming, you know, giving the woman the right to vote, that we would not go to war if women had the right to vote. Oh, really? Do you think that's changed any? No, it hasn't changed any. You can use any argument you want. It is, by its very nature, error. The woman does not have the right to govern. So what do we have today? 3,000 plus babies killed every day. How are you doing, folks, in righteousness? You say, well, I want to continue to wear my nice clothing and, you know, who's your mama? Who are you laying with, folks? Who are you laying with? You are laying with the one who was all clothed in beautiful jewels. Oh, and was gorgeous. Let me tell you something, ladies. In Ezekiel 28, starting with verse 12, it says this. Thus says the Lord Yahweh, concerning Satan, here we go. You had the seal of perfection, full of wisdom, and perfect in beauty. That's female, perfect in beauty. You were in Eden. The garden. Yeah, the garden of God. You were in Eden, the garden of God. There's the serpent. Every precious stone was your covering. The ruby, the topaz, and the diamond. Boy, women love diamonds. The beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the lapis lazuli, the turquoise, and the emerald, and the gold. The workmanship of your settings and sockets was in you. On the day that you were created, they were prepared. But of course they fail. You were blameless in your ways from the day that you were created until unrighteousness was found in you. Satan fell. But did you hear all of those stones? And the gold, ladies, might it be that Yahweh is saying something to us in the New Testament? You're a woman just like the devil was a female, and he fell, and he was covered in all these stones. And yes, in 1 Timothy 2:9, it says, likewise also, that women should adorn themselves in respectable apparel with modesty and self-control, not with braided hair and gold or pearls or costly attire. Didn't say that to the men, did it? No, it's to the women. Why? Because that's the exact same thing that Satan was covered with when he fell, when she fell. 1 Peter 3:3. To the women, do not let your adorning be external. The braiding of hair and the putting on of gold jewelry or the clothing you wear. Why in the New Testament is the woman called a devil twice? She's warned not to be the devil. I've talked about that in the last teaching. And here we see that she is now warned not to be covered in jewels. Isn't that exactly what we read in Ezekiel 28? Ladies, you risk being the devil, Diablos. You risk being the devil. And it warns you, ladies, don't go after the jewelry. The one who preceded you, the one who tempted you, was covered in them. And look what happened to her, Satan. And that's exactly what women do. They are attracted by this. I am so fed up with women, the way they dress. It's sickening. I don't like to go out. I don't like the temptation. I'm a man like any man. I don't like looking at news programs and such. Their dress is very satanic. Oh, it's beautiful. They got this beautiful long hair, and their makeup makes them look like someone special. And one woman said, I just wouldn't be caught outside without wearing my makeup. Makeup. I think that's a lie, isn't it? Yeah, I think it is. Cosmetics. Let's see. Cosmetics comes from the Greek word cosmos, which means the world. And Satan is the god of this world. And so whenever they dress up with their cosmetics and they wear their dress and all their jewelry and their gold and everything, let's see, they're just like the one who came in the garden and knew exactly how to tempt the woman. Women! When are you going to wake up? When are you going to wake up that you're becoming like Satan? Why don't you practice righteousness and put all of that away and don't even let it come near you? When are you going to submit to your husband and not be a Jezebel, which we will talk about a little later? When are you going to submit to your husband and not be a Vashti? Women, you have a temptation to be like the devil. Diablos, you're warned twice in there. Don't be a Diablos. When are you going to realize this? When are you going to wake up? Let's go to another subject. We've already talked about how the debt of our nation has skyrocketed ever since women had the right to vote. They're going to destroy the country, folks. If the woman destroyed the garden, they're going to destroy our country. You got that down? Put that in your brain. It's cemented. When you get women involved in governance, you're going to destroy the country, the nation, just like you destroyed the garden. Now, let's look at something. I want to show you something. How do women vote? Women vote for Democrats. They've done it ever since 1980. Women have consistently voted for Democrats in the majorities. If only the women's vote was counted, Jimmy Carter would have had a second term in 1980. How'd you like to have Jimmy Carter? Well, women, boy, they make great choices, though. Put Jimmy Carter back in there. Let's see. Walter Mondale in 1984, instead of Reagan, Michael Dukakis. Would you love to have had Michael Dukakis? If women were the only ones that had a right to vote, we would have had Michael Dukakis. Oh, in 2000, Al Gore. Great old Al Gore. Yeah, we would have had Al Gore in 2000, if only women could vote. John Kerry in 2004. And Barack Obama would not have had a second term in 2012. But if women voted only, yeah. they influence the outcome because they will cancel the vote of the male. Isn't that what they were concerned about whenever this nation was founded? The woman is absorbed in the identity of the man. But when you have women having the right, equal right to vote, what you do is you cancel out the head. Hey, let's, great idea. Let's cancel out Yeshua. Yeah. Let's get him out of our lives. We don't want him here. Yeah, church, Christianity, you're in favor of voting? Let the women put makeup all over their faces and stones are on them, you know, like the devil. And you give women the right to vote. That's a right that they have. Yeah, let's do that. And what you do is you just turn the government and the church over to the devil. Mm-hmm. You are so wise, Christians. So wise. Wise in the ways of the world, I guess. You know, someone can see all that's going on today and they said, where did we go wrong? Guess where we went wrong? Since we started giving women the equal rights of a man, since we started letting the women go to school and to abandon the home. In fact, when women got the rights to vote, the woman who was the president of the largest Christian women's organization in the 1800s, Annie Wittenmeyer, she said this concerning giving women the right to vote, and she was sadly, sadly right. She said that it would strike a fatal blow at the home. Annie Wittenmeyer, 1874. She lost her presidency in that organization because of this position, but she was right. She said that women giving the rights to vote would strike a fatal blow at the home, and not just the home, but at the babies and the nation. Folks, when will we wake up? When will we wake up? The Titanic is going to sink. When are we going to wake up? The destruction of our nation comes at the hands of us giving women the right to govern. That is exactly what Satan has had for 6,000 years. And he wants women to have the right to govern because he's been governing for 6,000 years. He's the God of this world. He has been destroying this world for 6,000 years. He has been taking man to death, even kingdom man to death, for 2,000 years. And we want to listen to the voice of the woman whenever Satan is the female as well. And we're going to give the woman the right to govern? Why, of course, because we're supporting the devil in his right to govern. Why, absolutely. Why haven't we, you know, wised up to this and just, let's just call this Church of the Devil. How about that? You say, that's offensive, Gary. You tell me, who does it look more like? Does it look more like the righteousness of Yeshua, or does it look more like the world and the God of this world? I suggest to you, it is the latter. So folks, what do you want? You want the kingdom of the devil, or do you want the kingdom of God? He blinds people. God even blinds people. You haven't known this for 2,000 years in the church. What's really happening in the kingdom of heaven, in the kingdom of God here on this earth, and in the nations. You haven't known what's happening in the nations, how Satan has deceived and is corrupting it. You know, we think the United Nations will bring harmony. Nope. Guess what? It brings death and corruption. Man thinks that he can bring forth the kingdom. He's going to ascend alive, so he builds jets and everything. In the natural, he thinks, you know, as he strives to bring forth the kingdom, well, jets get us around, but they also kill people, and they're not going to get us into an immortal, incorruptible body, which is what we have to have. They got NASA that takes men into heaven. Well, guess what? The Hebrew word for the scripture saying that Yahweh will bear us up is he will NASA us up. You see, we in the natural, I hate to even put myself in there, but yes, natural man, he tries to bring forth the kingdom, and he corrupts it every time. And natural man tries to bring forth the church, and he corrupts it every time as well. You see, what we have to have is a female work, indeed. Indeed, a female work, because the one thing that the female work can do, and it is lawful, is she can give birth. All we have to do is to get impregnated by the Holy Spirit, just like Mary was. That's what we need. Get impregnated by the Holy Spirit, just like Mary, and we can birth Emmanuel to this earth. Right? Absolutely. That is the only solution, because kingdom man has been blind for 2,000 years. Satan has been ruling for 2,000 years. He's taken the 2,000 swine to death for 2,000 years, and he would continue doing it if God didn't cut the day short, establish the second remnant bride, impregnate her with the latter rain, and she births Emmanuel back to this earth. And I will guarantee you, it will be by bones. It will be by government. It will be by the structure of what's right, the kingdom of heaven, where there's the male ruling over the female, governing the female. That's the way it will be. I ask you, how many apostles did Yeshua choose that were women? None. Last time I checked, last time I read my Bible, there were no women. Women have a right to vote? Bad. Women have a right to be pastors and priests? Bad. Equally bad. Are you beginning to see that it is essential that the man rule and govern? Because that's the same thing as Yeshua ruling and governing, instead of the female devil. So do you understand in the nation's level what's going on? I hope you do, because you ought to cry out to God and ask for forgiveness for the way you're dressing women and adorning yourselves just like the devil and showing your flesh. You know, you love to show your flesh. Well, guess what? By showing your flesh, all you're doing is being fleshly. Wear long dresses. Cover up your form. That's what was written back at the beginning when the church was established. They didn't show their form. It's been this way for almost 2,000 years. But since the curse of 1920, women have more and more become like the devil, showing their flesh. We're in a mess, folks. We don't even know it. But I hope by listening to this, you're beginning to understand. So that ends our first point, and that is in covering the nations. We crossed over into the church a bit, of course. Well, why not? Church is looking just like the nations, but we see the government of it. So we will go to our next point. In contrast to what's wrong, which we had to see, it's you have to see what's wrong to understand what's right. Otherwise, you mix the two. In contrast to this wrong that men have called right, that's like the scripture says, they call good evil and evil good. Well, there's a lot of that going on right now. Our next item is what is right. That's what we're going to consider now. Well, it's just about 180 degrees opposite of what's going on now. Honestly, I have no hope for the nations to come up with the right answers. The only hope I have is that Yeshua is going to call out a bride, and she will be made ready. And the Elijah will call for repentance, just like John the Baptist did. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The outpouring of the Spirit will convict the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. And the nation will be led to turn to righteousness. That can only come with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So that is the only hope that I see for the nations. And the reality is, Satan, who has had a right to rule and govern the nations for 6,000 years, will lose that right, and he will be obligated to lift up the Elijah, who is the Mordecai. And Haman, of course, is Satan. While the two-part bride is Esther's two wine banquets. So my hope, my only hope, is for Satan's time to come to an end, and he has to give service to the Elijah who takes his office, and he comes to his end whenever Yeshua returns and binds him for 1,000 years. Otherwise, the nations will continue to be the nations. But Satan has to be stopped at the completion of his time. So Yahweh fulfill his word, and the nations will learn righteousness, much needed righteousness. Of course, to know what is right, we cannot go by popular opinion or even by what churches say is right and wrong. We have to go by the scriptures as to what's right. You say, well, they all teach the scriptures too. Well, it's Babylon, but let's say the bride has understanding and knowledge that the rest of the body of Christ, the sleeping body of Christ, the corrupted body of Christ, does not have. There are a couple of writings I would direct you to. One is called Marriage, Music, and the Curse of 1920. We'll talk about that some more. And then there's another one called Let the Women Keep Silent. Obviously, that has to do with the instruction of a woman being silent in the church, which means, of course, she's not going to be a pastor because pastors are supposed to only be men, as it says that the man has the right to teach. The woman does not have the right to teach or exercise the authority of a man. Any woman who is trying to teach in the church, well, she's a Jezebel, and we'll talk about that after a while. But I would encourage you to read Let the Women Keep Silent. And the other one that we'll talk about a little bit is Marriage, Music, and the Curse of 1920. I refer to this one because it lays out every place in the New Testament where wives or women are instructed, given specific instruction, and where husbands or men are given specific instruction. Now, do you think that maybe there's something to this, that when instruction is given to these two, it happens that women are instructed with twice the amount than the men are instructed? Twice the instruction of a man goes to a woman. There are a lot of things that you're going to learn when you go to that writing, and I would let you go and read it yourself. But here are six items in which women are instructed to be subject to their own husbands. We'll start with Ephesians 5, and it'll be 22 and 24 where we see that. But it says, wives, be subject to your husbands as to the Lord. Well, you know, do you try to tell the Lord what to do? Do you try to manipulate the Lord in what you want out of him? Or do you berate the Lord? For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also wives are to be to their husbands in everything. Wives are to be subject to their husbands in everything. Well, women may not like that, but let me tell you what, when they stand before Yeshua, they will be judged by that scripture. Also, Colossians 3:18 says, wives, be subject to your husbands. Titus 2:5, encourage the women to be subject to their own husbands. 1 Peter 3:1, wives, be submissive to your own husbands. And in 1 Peter 3:5 through 6, we read about Sarah. And it says in that account that wives being submissive to their own husbands, just as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. How many of you wives call your husbands Lord? You should. So what is the repeated instruction to husbands? Well, there are four. Husbands, love your wives. Ephesians 5:25. So husbands ought also to love their own wives. Ephesians 5:28. Nevertheless, each individual among you also is to love his own wife even as himself. Ephesians 5:23. Husbands, love your wives. Colossians 3:19. We are instructed to love our wives. We are not instructed to obey. That is the responsibility of the woman to the husband. So, husbands, when is it that you are to listen to your wife? Well, you're to be patient with them and to love them. But the scriptures give us the testimony of when it is that we listen to our wives. You think Job should have listened to his wife and she said, curse God and die? No. But when Sarah spoke to Abraham and said, I want you to get rid of Hagar and Ishmael, Yahweh spoke to Abraham and said, listen to Sarah. That's when you listen to your wife. It's when you know it's right. You're the head of your home. You're responsible for listening to Yeshua or to the Father and hearing that and carrying it out. You are not to listen to your wife and obey her. Your obligation of obedience is to Yeshua or the Father. But I'll add here that you have an obligation to also listen to the elders of your church. Or, in the case of the bride, you listen to the leadership of the bride. In fact, let me read something for you that is most revealing. And before I go to that verse, though, that passage, I want you to know that I submitted to my elders in the church. One time the father told me to move, but my elders said no, and I listened to him because the scripture said to obey my elders. And I listened to him, and God worked that to my advantage. So we have an obligation to listen to eldership, to leadership. God has placed them for a purpose, and we're to acknowledge that leadership. Now, let me give you some very interesting information out of Acts chapter 3. In verses 19 and 20, it speaks of times of refreshing that they may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he would send Yeshua, the Christ appointed for us, whom heaven must receive, verse 21, until the period of the restoration of all things, about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from ancient time. That is now, the time of the restoration of all things. That is now. Moses said, the Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. To him you shall give heed to everything he says to you. Now, most Christians think that's Yeshua. No, it's the restoration of all things. And Yeshua was never contrasted to Moses. There was only one person in the entire Bible that was contrasted to Moses, and that is Elijah. The promise was given to Moses on his eighth trip up the mountain that he would stand beside Yeshua on a rock, be hidden in the cleft of the rock, would come out and see Yahweh's back. Well, guess what? He went up on the mountain that eighth time, and he saw Yeshua or Yahweh pass by. And that was it. He wasn't hidden in the cleft of the rock. Some five or six hundred years later, Elijah is fast for 40 days and 40 nights, just like Moses. He goes up on Mount Sinai. Yahweh passes by. He's hidden in the cleft of the rock in the cave. And then Elijah comes out and he sees what Yahweh wants him to do. So the prophet, like Moses, was clearly Elijah. And Elijah actually fulfilled the promise given to Moses on the Mount of Transfiguration, who was up on the mountain, Moses and Elijah. When Moses was about to die, he went up on Nebo, which is east of the Jordan River. And so where did Elijah go whenever it was time to him to ascend? He went south to Jericho and crossed over the Jordan River and went into the very area where Moses would have died. So again, you have the prophet like Moses in that one died in that vicinity and the other ascended in the same area. So there's no question that this is not Yeshua, this is Elijah. So what does he say concerning the Elijah who prepares the way for Emmanuel? And it will be that every soul that does not heed that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. Folks, that's authority. And wives, you submit to your husbands. And in like manner, the bride is to submit to the Elijah, or you'll be cut off. Of course, when we ascend alive into heaven, Yeshua is the one who's going to take up a bride. He will choose. But obviously, there's a government that we're to respect, and wives, at home, you honor your husband, and you obey him, it says, in everything. Now, if he asks you to do something that's totally sinful, no, you can't do that. If you would like to know more about this, when is it that a wife has a right to disobey her husband? Read the writing, Response to Authority, at RemnantBride.com. Response to Authority. So wives, if you want to prove that you're worthy to rule and reign with Yeshua, to be caught up into heaven, prove so by the way that you honor your husband. If you don't honor your husband now and obey him now, then how can Yeshua trust you to obey him? If you're not demonstrating your obedience to your natural husband, then how can you be worthy of being a spiritual bride unto Yeshua? Wives, you have an opportunity to prove yourselves in your faithfulness by your relationship with your husband. And of course, you put away jewelry. You do not dress immodestly. You cover your flesh. You cover your form. You need to cover your head when you pray or prophesy. That is obligated in the scriptures. There's no need of me going into that too much, because it's all written about in the book called Coverings. So I urge you to read Coverings. You can get a paperback edition, or you can get a PDF version of it online by going to rtcquest.com. rtcquest.com. There you can get Coverings. It's free of charge, other than if you want a paperback edition. And you can also read The Curse of 1920, or order a copy of it for yourself. So that's the instruction that you need. You know, let me also point out another very good resource. At RemnantBride.com, down on the left side, there are red letters that say Beliefs and Conduct. I urge you to read both of those. You can read about the beliefs of the bride, but there's also one called Conduct. And it speaks about the conduct for both men and women. So Beliefs and Conduct at RemnantBride.com. And again, ladies, you have an opportunity to prove that you are worthy to be the bride of Yeshua by your faithfulness to your husband now. If you're not being faithful to your husband now, then why should you be the bride of Yeshua? It's a wonderful opportunity for you to demonstrate what the bride of Yeshua will truly be by your behavior. The scripture says that the bride makes herself ready. And I encourage you to make yourself ready by demonstrating this in your relationship with your husband. Let's talk about a subject that is most relevant at this time. I don't think there's ever been a time in history in which more women have tried to be in the place of the man, particularly concerning the ministry, pastors and teachers and men and women serving as co-pastors, joint pastors, as husbands and wives. It's an abomination. I'll tell you what, when women enter into the ministry, all they are is a Jezebel. That's it, pure and simple. The book of Revelation speaks about them. In Revelation 2, the fourth church of the seven, we read concerning Thyatira, but I have this against you, that you tolerate the woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess. And she teaches. A woman is not allowed to teach or to exercise the authority of a man. Any woman teaching in church, in the place of a man, in the office of a man, which is to be the teacher and pastor, is a Jezebel. And she teaches and leads my bondservants astray so that they commit acts of immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. I gave her time to repent, and she does not want to repent of her immorality. How many women will repent today because of their immorality of teaching? Behold, I will throw her on a bed of sickness, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation unless they repent of her deeds. And I will kill her children with pestilence, and all the churches will know that I am he who searches the minds and hearts, and I will give to each one according to your deeds. Now, isn't that amazing? That it says he searches the minds and the hearts. Well, some women would say, well, God knows my heart. You know, I've heard that so many times. God knows my heart. Brothers and sisters, we're talking about bones. We're talking about government. A woman is not to teach or to exercise the authority of or over a man. It says the woman was greatly deceived and the man was not deceived. We go back to the garden. She was deceived. She led the man astray by listening to the woman, Satan. A woman is not to teach, and she'd best get out of that office, or as a pastor, she'd best get out of that office, and she will not ascend alive as long as she continues to stay in the place of the man. She is not a man, she is a woman, and she is becoming a serpent. She does not have the right to teach or exercise the authority of a man. So, this Jezebel that is spoken of here in Revelation 2, what do we find concerning this Jezebel? Well, let's go to 1 Kings chapter 21, and we find out something most, most important and most relevant. You see, the king had a neighbor who had a really nice vineyard, but he wanted it for himself. He wanted it for a garden. Let's see, a vineyard. Do not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And he wanted a garden, the Garden of Eden. Yes, exactly. We're talking about the kingdom, the church. He wants something. He wants this kingdom, this vineyard. He's going to plant it, this garden, and he can't get it. And so who's going to get the kingdom for him? Is he going to be able to, or what's going to happen? Well, the woman, she's going to be the pastor. We're going to be the teachers. The men aren't doing what they're supposed to be doing. So we, as women, are going to fill that role when there aren't any men to do it. We're going to do it because the man is not fulfilling his role. Oh, really? And all you do is become a Jezebel. And that's what she did. So she develops a plan to make sure that she gets the garden, the vineyard, for her husband. And she has the man Naboth killed. And she gives the garden, the vineyard, to her husband. And God judges her. Brothers and sisters, and let's just say sisters, when you want to provide the kingdom to man, all you're doing is becoming a Jezebel. That's it. You don't have the right to do this. You need to repent and not follow in her ways, lest you get run over by a chariot and the dogs eat you. No, if you want to rule and reign with Yeshua, then become a woman and not a Jezebel woman. Serve your husband. Serve your children. Go home and let the men teach and govern and instruct. The scripture says that a woman can prophesy. But of course, she says she's to prophesy with her head covered. But let's make sure it's really a prophecy from God and not from your flesh. Be real cautious about that, ladies. And you need to be silent in the churches just like you are instructed to be silent. 1 Corinthians 14, starting with verse 33, because this is a part of that which follows. It actually begins with this. As in all the churches of the saints, the women, did you hear that? This was being practiced in all the churches of the saints, just like head coverings were. That if you have any questions about there, we have no other practice in all the churches. This is the same thing. Women's head coverings and women not teaching her. All the churches were practicing. It wasn't just a custom. As in all the churches of the saints, the women are to keep silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak, but are to subject themselves just as the law also says. If they desire to learn anything, let them ask their own husbands at home. For it is improper for a woman to speak in church. Was it from you that the word of God went forth? Or has it come to you only? If anyone thinks he is a prophet or spiritual, let him recognize that the things which I write to you are the Lord's commandment. But if anyone does not recognize this, he is not recognized. And I assure you, brothers and sisters, if you want to practice something other than this, you will not be recognized at the catching up of the bride. All right. Is it being made clear to you what we face right now? The church has departed from the ways of Yahweh, letting women stand in that place. And all they are is Jezebels. Well, you say, well, how about Deborah? She was a woman and she was a judge. And so if Deborah can be a judge, I can be a teacher and a pastor, because it's in the Old Testament. But this example, yeah, but what about the New Testament that clearly instructs you that you don't have that right? So what was Deborah really telling us? Yeah, it's very clear. The purpose of the Old Testament is to prophesy, to lay out the patterns, just like Judah was a prophecy concerning the priesthood today in the tribe of Judah. Deborah prophesied. She was a governmental testimony, a prophetic testimony. So what did she prophesy? Well, guess what? Deborah sat under a palm tree. Say, well, so? Well, a palm tree is a Tamar. She was prophesying concerning Tamar, who we find is the testimony of the bride. Tamar, who gave birth to Zerah, Perez, Zerah, is the testimony of the bride whenever the two sons of Judah were killed when given Tamar the priesthood. She is a picture of the bride. Deborah is a picture of the bride. Now, what's her husband's name? Well, her husband is Lapidoth, and Lapidoth means a burning torch. That's a rod, a burning rod. And so it's a type of Yeshua, if you would, but it is definitely, definitely masculine. And so she is a type of the bride. And we see the burning torch, the Lapidoth, and the smoking oven passing between the covenant parts that were laid out. And that is a type of the bride, the smoking oven, and the burning torch, Yeshua. And so now you know, she is a prophetic type, but don't you dare try to use her as an excuse to violate the scriptures. You will risk ascending alive if you do. Of course, the other verse that they like to quote is from Galatians, where it says that there is neither male nor female. So therefore, they think they can go teach. But what they do is they totally disregard the rest of the scriptures that clearly instruct a woman not to teach or to exercise the authority of a man. So you can't use that as an excuse to violate everything else that Paul wrote concerning the woman. Women, just do what it's written. A woman is not to teach or to exercise authority of a man. You're female, bones, government, your flesh. Leave the teaching and the instruction to the bones, would you please? Where there's life, you know, the life is in the bones, your flesh. You cannot bring forth the life that is required concerning the Word of God. And again, this whole aspect of women doing what they're doing today is very consistent with women becoming uncovered, letting their nakedness show, becoming like Satan, and revealing your flesh, if you would, becoming like Satan, and taking on the appearance of beauty and the covering of jewels and becoming like the world whose head is Satan. Women, you need to go back to modesty. And you need to go back to the place where the men had the right to govern and rule and to teach. If you don't, you will not ascend alive. If you cannot prove by your actions that you're worthy to be a bride, and you seek to take the kingdom by force, as Yeshua said, which is exactly what you're trying to do, being nothing more than a Jezebel, if the man can't get the kingdom, then leave it alone. You stay the woman. Don't be the Jezebel. Well, I didn't plan on this message ending on the subject of Jezebel. Whenever I was laying it out, I was going to put something positive, encouraging for godly women. But frankly, it's right. This nation, the church, the family, is so corrupted right now. It's fitting to end on the subject of Jezebel and, frankly, the corruption of all three of these areas. The fact is, if Yahweh doesn't cut time short from 3,000 years to 2,000 years, it will be, my God, why have you forsaken us? We are so corrupt and have gone so far astray. And I'm talking about in 2,000 years, this has got to be the worst. That if Yahweh doesn't come and do something new and establish the second bride, the second remnant, it's going to be bad. It's going to be bad. I do not look forward to those days. My hope that Yahweh is going to complete this work. We've talked about a Jezebel. The fact is, Jezebel died under the chariot wheels of Jehu, who was anointed by the servant who was sent by Elijah. This is the time for the Elijah and the Elijah company. And this Jezebel needs to come to an end. It's most interesting that Jezebel was pushed out the window by 2-3 eunuchs, literally. Didn't say two, no, but 2-3 eunuchs. So which is it? That's what we ask today. Is it going to be 2,000 years? Or is it going to be 3,000 years? And my God, why have you forsaken us? We need those two eunuchs to push Jezebel out the window and let Jehu finish the work. So I pray that you get a handle on this Jezebel, that you understand what she is. And I pray that Yahweh will purify and cleanse his church, send his spirit, perform the time of refreshing, prepare the way for Emmanuel, and for him to come and complete what he began 2,000 years ago. May Yahweh have his way in our lives, and may he do good on our behalf. We cry out to him. In the name of Yeshua, amen.